Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in this world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he began to pour water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then, not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thursday, we celebrate Jesus' gift of himself at the Last Supper, the gift of the Eucharist. Now, there are seven sacraments in the Church, but the Eucharist stands above the others because it is in the Eucharist that we encounter Jesus and we witness his sacrifice on the cross. If the sacraments are supposed to be the ways that we encounter our Lord, whether it is in the washing away of original sin, whether it is in the absolution of our personal sins, or whether it is blessing the commitment that a man and woman make to one another in marriage, or whether it is offering comfort to those who are sick or dying, or whether it is the commitment that a man makes towards ordained life, or whether it is a young person committing themselves to continue to follow Jesus and thus receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it is in this sacrament of the Eucharist that we encounter Jesus. We heard in our first reading, "This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generation shall celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution." So how are we to approach God? Moses served as an intercessor between God's chosen people and their God. In fact, when he would come from the meeting tent after he had been in God's presence, his face reflected the glory of God, and it scared the people so much that they asked him to veil that face whenever he walked out of the meeting tent. And yet, Moses was a sinner. In fact, Moses was punished for disobeying God and was never able to make that final journey into the promised land. We have an intercessor, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He is our intercessor. He is the one that we go through to encounter our God. But not only is he an intercessor, but he also paid our debt. The debt that prevented us from eternal life in heaven. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Of course, the Eucharist is a meal, but it is also a participation in Christ's sacrifice on the cross. It's ironic, the Wednesday, one Wednesday evening in March, we had in this church our parents of our First Communion kids. The kids are preparing for their First Holy Communion. And I remember telling them, as I want to do, that each and every time we celebrate the Mass, each and every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we celebrate Holy Thursday, the Mass of the Lord's Supper. We also celebrate Good Friday because we are privileged to be participants in Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We actually witness that sacrifice each and every time we come together. Now, as I said before, Jesus established the sacraments as encounters with him. And he chose priests to bring them about. And before I go on, let me remind you, he chose sinners to be his priests. I distinctly remember when in seminary at one point, it was I believe it was something that my spiritual director said. And I think he said that if you think that because you're going to be a priest, you need to be perfect, or you are perfect, you will fail in your priesthood. And I think that's an important lesson for all of us who are in ordained ministry. We do serve a priestly role in the church. We do serve to bring Christ into the people's lives, most especially in those sacramental encounters. But we are also to imitate Christ, who came to serve, not to be served. I remember a meeting with the vocation director. My vocation director is a former pastor here at Our Lady of Perpetual Help, and now the Archbishop of Seattle. And I remember him asking me, why is it you want to be a priest? And I remember my simple answer, I want to serve. That idea of service is what embodies the priesthood. Jesus wasn't just telling his followers at the Last Supper to model their lives after him. But he was telling the future bishops of the church, the first bishops of the church, to model their lives after Jesus, to serve, not to be served. That is an awesome responsibility, but it is an integral part of who I am as a priest. I will never pretend to do that perfectly, but that is something that I strive for day in and day out. We priests become the people we were created to be when we practice that humility of service. think it's important to realize all baptized Christians have a priestly function. All baptized Christians are called to serve and not to be served. Never was Jesus so completely serving as Savior as when he hung upon the cross. We imitate him when we try to flush out the selfish desires out of our hearts. During this time of absence from the Eucharist, during this time when churches stand empty and maybe only a handful of people celebrate private masses, during this time when people are either live streaming or watching broadcasted masses, during this time, people are still imitating Jesus. I see it in the selfless and courageous work of our healthcare providers. I see it in the people who volunteer to shop for groceries on behalf of someone who is at high risk. I see it in Facebook posts of virtual birthday parties. I see it in home concerts. In all of these, we imitate our Lord and Savior, who selflessly gave up his life on the cross. The Eucharist is a true gift. And yes, for many of you, it has been 3 weeks since you have received. But that is not an excuse to say that Jesus has abandoned us. Instead, we celebrate this week for Jesus' true presence among us, a presence that was redemptive, a presence that won for us salvation. Jesus knows for all of us, as we struggle to model his life of selfless love, it truly is a lifelong pursuit. The gift of himself in the Eucharist nourishes us, strengthens us, and strengthens those bonds that makes us brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, molding us into the people we were created to be. My dear friends, soon we will gather together as a family of faith around this altar. But in the meantime, let us continue to love one another as Jesus loved us, totally, selflessly. That is our charge as his disciples.